It's Dusty and Mike with some exciting Gays shop updates.
Old prints are making a comeback as we're looking to clear out stock to make room for new items, including posters from season 8 and 9.
For the remainder of the summer through Labor Day 2026, all individual prints will be $8 and all collections will be $20. That's right. It's basically a half off sale on all of our older prints.
And when the summer is over, our older prints will only be available as collection, not as individual prints. So act now and bring some of the national parks home with you.
Head to shop.gazeatthenationalparks.com or visit the link on our website.
These low, low prices won't stick around forever. Hello and welcome to Trailmix by Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast. I'm Mike.
And I'm Dusty. If you're joining us for the first time, Trailmix is the short format episodes of our show. While our long format episodes explore one hiking trail in one national park, one park at a time, Trail Mix allows us to dive deeper into the things we didn't get to cover in our long format episodes, including interviews, history, science, and environmental justice.
But Trail Mix also allows us an opportunity to chat about traveling and talk about the things we're excited about when it comes to hiking, camping, and being outdoors. This episode is all about best desert hikes.
Best desert hikes. We've got a few of them.
We do.
So what do you love about hiking in the desert?
I think the thing I like the most is that it is such a very different environment from so much of what we are used to on the East Coast. And what is, like, unless you're in the Southwest of the U.S., what is very different for a lot, large majority of the country too. The landscape, the rock formations, the wildlife, there are just so many things to be enamored by and to find yourself being excited by in the desert. What about you?
I love that the desert is an ecosystem that has everything that lives there behaves in a certain way, and it has to adapt in a certain way. And so therefore, you see things there that you don't see anywhere else.
Yeah. I mean, it is the strangest. Because of adaptation, you know? When did you first experience the desert or desert culture? Like, when was that, like, a thing that interacted, like, or intersected with your life?
I don't think it was until I was an adult. I mean, I didn't really get out west until, like, you and I started traveling there.
That's not true. You took a trip with TJ and your friend TJ and Dita.
That's right. Okay, yeah. So I did go across the Sierra Nevadas, which is a type of desert.
Right.
Sure, of course. I have been to Las Vegas.
Yeah.
There's desert there, of course.
Yeah.
But not, like, in it, like, in outdoor way. Like, I had done, like, driven through it, but
sure.
Not actually, like, really gotten inside of it, and that wasn't until later, but yeah, that's what it was for me. How about you?
Well, my uncle lived in Las Vegas, so we took a trip out there when I was 16, like on a spring break, and so I got a chance to experience the greater Las Vegas area. We did, like, Lake Mead and Hoover Dam in a day. We didn't, like, hike, but that was the first time I had been exposed to an area that wasn't, like, lush and didn't have, like, deciduous trees, where we were basically, like, surrounded by red rock. And then otherwise, yeah, it would have been our first trip in 2017 when we went out to Utah and Arizona. And what's the difference between a desert park and a sand dune park? Or is there one?
That's a good question. I don't know that there is necessarily. I mean, sand dunes form in a very specific way, right? I mean, it takes a lot of wind and a lot of, you know, nature being sort of organized in a certain way for sand dunes to form. Like, Great Sand Dunes National Park doesn't exist in the middle of a desert, but it does feel like a desert while
right,
there.
Right.
And there's also growth happening there.
Yeah.
Indiana Dunes is not a desert park.
No.
It's on the shores of a beach. That's another example of a dune park that is, but there's some bits of Indiana Dunes that feel desert-like, but it's
right.
not a desert.
Right.
And then, of course, there is the sand dunes in Death Valley National Park, which is absolutely desert.
Right, and White Sands, too.
And White Sands, which is very much desert, but it's gypsum sand
right.
that has formed from like these mountains, but it is near desert area. So
right.
it's a very specific kind of like dune field that has been created by its surroundings. So I do think they don't have to be mutually exclusive.
Yeah. No, I don't think so either.
Sometimes they are.
But I do think there are large instances in which they are, for sure. Well, since this season has sort of become more of a desert park season than what we had originally intended, if you listen to our trail map of the
yes,
season.
We love to shake it up yeah, after the trail map.
We
always intend to stay on...
on target, on
well,
the trail.
Stay as outlined, but sometimes things change.
It's true. So we decided that this would be a great episode because we have done a fair share of desert hiking within our time within the national parks, because we have seen over 2/3 of the national parks at this point, and we are...
I would say almost 3/4, but almost.
Yeah, if we want to split some hairs here.
Yeah.
So with that being said, let's take a look at a few things that you need when camping and hiking within the desert. One of the biggest things would be weather.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely checking the weather, because Death Valley, for example, is known for its heat,
right?
Right? Hiking Death Valley in July, not possible.
Right.
Not possible. Hiking Death Valley in January, December, totally possible.
Sure.
Because of weather. Hiking Death Valley in April, totally possible because of weather, even though we did that and there were also 100-degree days
it's
while
true.
We were there.
It's true. But the other thing to consider when it comes to deserts is that deserts cool down oftentimes by like tens and twenties of degrees overnight.
Oh, yeah.
It's an environment that is one that is marked by constant change. And so knowing the weather and knowing what sort of temperature situation you're going to be experiencing on the extremes, on both the highs and the lows, is really important, because you want to make sure that you are able to have layers, bring the correct sleeping bag if camping is part of your itinerary in the desert, and just know that you're going to be comfortable. Another big thing is bring sunblock, because
oh, yeah.
you are exposed most of the time.
The majority of the time.
So you're going to be cooking unless you're out very early or you're going late. But even still, the desert environment, because the sun is reflecting off of that sand most of the time,
mm-hmm.
even later or earlier, you have to be very mindful about when you're applying sunblock.
And to the sunblock conversation, I'm going to add also, big fan of the sun hat and the sun shirt, the long sleeve sun shirt. We hiked in Death Valley in 100-degree heat in long sleeve sun shirts, and we were not hot.
Mm-mm.
And we were very protected.
Mm-hmm.
So like big fan of those.
Yeah.
This is like Carrie Coon talking about being in Thailand and not being able to swim. She would swim in like long pants and long sleeve shirts and a sun hat because the sun is so bright and heavy there.
Yeah.
And could cause so much sun damage.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So you don't want sun damage. So mm-hmm. put on your sunscreen, wear your long sleeve stuff. It's fine. We've advanced enough to still be able to stay cool when we're wearing that stuff. But now let's talk about staying safe while hiking or camping in the desert. So one of the best ways to stay safe when hiking in the desert is to do what, Mike?
To start early, to hike early. Hike early. And get out there when it's dark still.
I mean, it's legit
yeah.
though.
Yeah.
Legit. I mean, we've been saying this for how many years?
For 10 years.
For 8 seasons, hike early and hike often,
mm-hmm.
and especially when it comes to the desert, because it is cooler in the morning.
Yeah.
It doesn't get super hot until the middle of the day.
Yeah.
When we were in Death Valley, we did all of our hiking early
before
in the
noon.
Morning.
Yeah.
We were done most days
by 11.
By 11,
or
by
1.
Noon,
yeah.
or 1.
Yeah.
Depending on how long the day was. And luckily they had, you know, the place where we could swim, not in the fancy place. There was no swimming there for us.
No.
No.
Stovepipe Wells.
Stovepipe Wells.
Mm-hmm.
It was great.
Mm-hmm.
Big fan of that place in Death Valley because
yep.
that water was cold and it was like a great place to cool down.
Yeah.
So the other thing that I think is important to talk about, I've experienced this on a trail while in North Dakota for
the North Achenbach Trail.
Theodore Roosevelt National Park on the North Achenbach Trail, which is heat stroke.
Yeah.
Well,
you had heat exhaustion.
It was heat exhaustion. Yeah, if it was I didn't get all the way to stroke.
No.
No. If it were heat stroke, that would have been really bad. No, but it was like an absolute overheat moment. You can go listen to the episode North Achenbach Trail. But yeah, that was we have to stop. We have to pour water all over me. We have to give me some amount of food and then get me into some shade. There was no shade.
Right.
But we just had to like start walking back and like preserve energy. It was fine, but don't get into a place where that's your situation.
Well, I think also just being aware of what that looks like is also important. You can listen to our episode Hiking in the Heat from this season.
Yes.
And you'll hear a little bit more about that.
That's right.
Water consumption is very important too, and having enough water is super important when you're hiking in the desert. A full like camelback bladder or water bladder, water bottles that are additional that are in your pack, electrolytes that you can put into water, anything that's going to make you like stay hydrated is very, very important.
Very important. Very important. And also plenty of things to eat, salty snacks. Those are going to help you stay full. Those are also going to help with the whole retaining the water when you eat those kinds of things.
So other things too to think about are being trail aware. So stay on the trail. We talk about this a lot in episodes that we've produced about desert parks. The reason that you want to stay on the trail is one, to make sure you're staying safe, but two, to protect the desert environment, because the areas off trail are often like microbial wonder patches that take thousands of years to do what they're doing. And if you're stepping off trail on them, you're basically wreaking havoc on the environment in that desert zone. So
that's right. And also an animal's environment.
Mm-hmm. So staying on the trail is incredibly important.
The other thing to note, we talk about this in our episode on
Alkali Flats,
but also in our episode on the wildlife of White Sands, which is that the majority of desert animals are nocturnal. Mm-hmm. So they come out at night, right?
Right.
And they don't want their areas messed with during the day. And the same thing that is really good to remember is the nocturnal animal situation when you're camping, because you might hear more sounds, you might hear animals while you're camping. And typically when it comes to a well-established camping area, animals know like, okay, well, we haven't established homes here in this area. So we never had any issue while camping in Death Valley when it came to nocturnal animals, but it's always a possibility.
Yeah. Also something to be considerate of or concerned about in the desert specifically is minding cairns or trail markers, because especially in an environment that's harsh like a desert, if you're not paying attention to where you're going on a trail, especially if it's a trail like in a desert park, like White Sands Alkali Flat Trail, and you're not paying attention, you could get very easily disoriented or turned around or not know where you're going.
Right,
so
right.
That's a very important part of being trail aware, especially because, you know, when you think about being on a trail and you think about blazes or things that mark a trail, if there's woods and there's trees, blazes might be at eye level or slightly higher than eye level, and they're brightly colored and they're easy to pay attention to. In a desert, you might be looking for stacked cairns.
You might be looking for
posts that have like colors on them.
Or rocks on the ground in the shape of an arrow.
Right. So you have to be very, very cognizant of what's happening on the trail as you're hiking. You can't be kind of off in the clouds while you're on the trails in the desert at all.
Let's talk about what desert parks we have been to, because we've been to almost all of them. And I have to say, they all look different.
They do.
So yeah. I think when we talk about them, let's describe like sort of what kind of desert you get in that area.
Right.
So we'll start with the one we've been talking about, which is Death Valley.
Yeah.
And Death Valley is like expansive desert, but there's also hills. There's also mountains. There's also elevation happening in Death Valley. So
there's craters, there's flats, there's, you know, it's
salt flats.
There's lots. It's a feast for the eyes, and like
there's
a smorgasbord
also
sand dunes. Smorgasbord of geology to experience here. There are so many incredible hikes in Death Valley. If you listen to anything from this past season, season 8, you can hear about all of our hiking there. It's a park that I would never really put much thought into, and I'm so glad that we had the experience that we did when we were there, even though it was hot. It is the largest park in the lower 48, and it is completely worth it and so wild. I think all the desert parks are so worth it, and they are some of my favorite because they're just so weird. That's the thing that I find the most interesting about the desert parks is their strange factor.
Up next is Joshua Tree. Joshua Tree is the only place in the world to see Joshua Trees,
yeah.
Which is where you get the name.
Yeah.
We also hiked 49 Palms.
We did.
That is episode 49.
Mm-hmm.
I know, look what we did there. Joshua Tree is a completely different kind of desert environment. It's pretty flat.
Yeah.
But the cacti, incredible. Mm-hmm. The trees, unbelievable.
Yep.
Literally one of a kind.
Yeah. Saguaro, which also incredibly different, absolutely stunning. The saguaro cacti are
enormous.
The cactuses you think about when you think about cactuses.
Yes.
Like, they are like the prototype archetypal cacti. So
gigantic,
incredible.
White Sands National Park, located in New Mexico.
Yep.
You heard all about it. Gypsum sand dunes.
Chemistry.
Which is, we did a whole suite of episodes on White Sands National Park this season.
Yep.
We have a whole episode on the wildlife of White Sands where we also cover how those sand dunes came to
yep.
be.
Yeah.
That feels picturesque, barren desert.
Yes. Yeah. Big Bend National Park, which is in Texas. Incredible. Like,
what a surprise.
Surprising,
that park.
Beautiful park on the Rio Grande.
I think it's in my top five parks.
It's
absolutely
hiking through the tributaries of the Rio Grande to go through Santa Elena Canyon. There's so many wonderful things in Big Bend and so many very different things that you're seeing here than you are in other parks.
And it is a haven for birding.
It is a haven
big,
for birding.
Big haven
you
for birding.
Hated that.
Hated it.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about Big Bend that I do want to mention, mountainous and also rivers and streams, and this is still considered desert. Desert
yeah.
can look like a lot of things.
Yep.
Great Sand Dunes National Park in Colorado. This also kind of feels like the Sahara
yeah.
or looks like it, or suddenly you're there. But
yeah.
this is not inside of like a sweeping type of desert.
No.
This is the Colorado area, and in between this valley, all of the sand gathered, and now we have sand dunes. So
yeah.
this is how Great Sand Dunes came to be, and it's definitely worth sliding down those dunes.
It sure
on
is.
Some sleds.
Some sleds or some snowboards.
Yes.
Arches National Park. What a strange, beautiful, wonderful space.
That, it is.
Like, it's
a the national park atop a mesa
yeah,
a covered park, in red rocks.
A park you could see simply by car. You can see most of the arches or many of the arches just from the car, but you can do some really short trails to get up close. You can do some really, you know, interesting traversing. There are so many cool things happening here in Arches National Park.
And then just across the street from Arches,
literally
we have Canyonlands,
yeah.
which is a vast sweeping area of desert, but it's Utah desert, so it's like red rock clay desert. And
weird.
So weird.
Yeah.
And like sweeping and epic. And there's also tons of hikes to do right there in Canyonlands.
And Canyonlands is also massive. There are three or four sections. We only did Islands in the Sky. The Needles is a section that you have to drive like 3 hours into before you're actually there. It's expansive.
Yep.
Yeah.
Super expansive.
And then last but not least in our desert parks is Capitol Reef, which
is a surprise, also might be
yeah.
in my top five.
Yeah.
Capitol Reef, what a like beautiful like little pocket of a gem that it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you've also done quite a bit of desert hiking without me.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't know how that happened. I'm kidding. Obviously, because we're independent people, we can do independent mm-hmm. things. But you've also gotten to do quite a bit of desert hiking
yeah.
on your own.
Yeah.
And where was that?
So I've done two trips. Our mutual friend, Mike, very close friend from college, but now our mutual friend, Frank, lives in Joshua Tree. So I've taken two separate trips out by myself and done like 2 days of hiking each time, both in Joshua Tree National Park and in areas that surround it in the Mojave Desert Preserve, which really, really incredible spaces out there. We've seen some other craters, went to the Kelso Sand Dunes, did just like really epic hiking within the park too. Just incredible. And also when I was in South America gosh, like 15 years ago now, which is crazy to me. I did hike in the Atacama Desert, which is in the north of Chile, which is really, I think, where I actually picked up my love for deserts, because we hadn't done any hiking in the Southwest. And all I could think of, and I hadn't, other than being to Las Vegas when I was 16, as I previously mentioned, I hadn't really experienced that. But I was like, this feels like what the Southwest would feel like. But it's wild. I mountain biked while I was there. It was very, very cool. Did some neat hiking. And then previous to that, had done some hiking in the Unisalt Flats in Bolivia. So I've had my fair share of desert hiking without you, and I wouldn't trade it for the world.
We know that there are so many ways to get outside and explore the national parks. And if you are thinking about finally renting an RV this summer to have an adventure of a lifetime, then look no further than Outdoorsy. Outdoorsy is the most trusted RV rental marketplace in the United States, making it easy for anyone to rent an RV or camper without owning one.
They have thousands of RVs and campers nationwide, available right in your neighborhood, and you can have it delivered and fully set up at your destination. It's so easy. It's only three simple steps to get started on your adventure.
First, search and choose an RV that fits your trip and group size. Then, book with confidence. Insurance, support, and protection are all included. And finally, hit the road or arrive and relax, whether you're driving, towing, or getting it delivered.
As people who love exploring and love getting into the national parks, we don't own an RV or camper, but sometimes we want that. And that's why Outdoorsy is the perfect solution.
Right now, our listeners can have all service fees removed from their booking in 2026 with code GAZE at outdoorsy.com. That's outdoorsy.com. And use our code GAZE, GAZE, at checkout to remove service fees. And that is outdoorsy.com. It's Dusty and Mike with some exciting GAZE shop updates.
Old prints are making a comeback as we're looking to clear out stock to make room for new items, including posters from season 8 and 9.
For the remainder of the summer through Labor Day 2026, all individual prints will be $8 and all collections will be $20. That's right. It's basically a half-off sale on all of our older prints.
And when the summer is over, our older prints will only be available as collection, not as individual prints. So act now and bring some of the national parks home with you.
Head to shop.gazeatthenationalparks.com or visit the link on our website.
These low, low prices won't stick around forever.
And now let's get to the meat of this episode, where we cover our top 5 desert hikes in the national parks.
So let's start with number 5. Number 5 is Wasson Peak in Saguaro National Park. And we hiked this in April of 2023.
Oh my God, there was so much to love about this hike.
Yeah.
So some highlights of this hike is, yes, it is longer. It's like a 4 to 5 mile loop or something like that.
It's, I think, one of the biggest hikes in the park.
In Saguaro. Yeah. But it is saguaro cacti the entire time.
Yeah.
The entire time. And it's lots of hills up to like a mountain peak.
Yeah.
But totally worth
with
it.
With an incredible terminal view. Incredible.
Incredible view.
Yep.
At the end, it really sort of, saguaro is set apart because of these saguaro cacti.
Right.
It's like a forest, but with cacti.
Yeah.
No, it's not as dense as a forest. There's not as many saguaro cacti as there are trees in a forest, but that's sort of what you get here in saguaro.
Yeah. We also hit it during like peak bloom, which was amazing.
Yes. Gorgeous.
Speaking of that, our weather was warm. We hiked early as we typically do. We had gotten into Tucson kind of late-ish the night before, which allowed us to like crash and then get up and hit the park very early because we knew what the weather was going to be like. Bright, clear, sunny skies. And again, we hit the park like during like a super bloom, which was really, really cool.
On this hike, we may or may not have encountered 2 rattlesnakes, which you can listen to the episode to hear all those details about. Mm-hmm. We also may or may not have encountered a Gila monster.
Mm-hmm.
So that is number 5, Wasson Peak. Now let's go to number 4.
We've got Golden Canyon. This is something that we hiked in Death Valley National Park in April of 2024. And this can be found in episode 143 from this past season.
So there was so much to love about Golden Canyon because it was so much fun. Okay.
There's a lot of landscape change, I think, is what was really cool about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're not in any one landscape for very long.
No.
The term we use is the Seven Realms Trail.
Right.
Like, you're going through seven realms by the time you're done with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it had, like, mounds that were shady, and then it had, like...
You had Manly Beacon up ahead.
Manly Beacon, which you have to hike entirely around. And then there's, like, up and down, like, colorful other mounds. And then there's...
You get to Zabriskie Point.
Then there's, like, another part where you're in a wash.
Yep.
And then there's, like, towering through what feels like narrows.
Yeah.
There's so much happening in Golden Canyon.
Yeah.
It is such a great hike, and it is worth it to do the entire loop.
Yes. To Gower Gulch. Golden Canyon to Gower Gulch is what the loop would be. Weather was, again, warm, hot, sunny. We started this hike early, and from the start of Golden Canyon to Zabriskie Point, which is sort of the midpoint of the hike, it wasn't too bad. But then going through Gower Gulch in the very exposed sun, it was very hot. And we were both in sun shirts. We were sticking to the shade here. But it is definitely a hike that you have to be prepared for, especially in the gulch, because it is very, very exposed. Why would you recommend this as a hike to somebody?
Well, because you really don't get anything like this anywhere else.
I think the closest thing you would get is Mosaic Canyon, but that's very different.
See, I would compare it only a little bit to my favorite, Sliding Sands. It's a Seven Realms Trail, but it's sort of like you get that kind of experience, but in like a very sort of compact way.
Yeah, it's not as long as Sliding Sands.
Not nearly as long, mm-mm, but it's absolutely worth it to do that big old loop.
Mm-hmm.
And now we come to number three, which I just want the record to say, I think I would put this as number one. But I get...
Well, I wrote the episode, so...
But you did organize this episode. And I do agree with you in the span of this grouping that this totally makes sense, this number three.
Mm-hmm.
But this does have number one potential territory for me, which is the South Rim Trail in Big Bend National Park,
mm-hmm,
which we hiked in April of 2022. And it had to span two episodes. And that's episode 107 and 108,
mm-hmm,
because this was such a big trail.
Yeah.
Okay. Also a Seven Realms Trail.
Yeah, absolutely.
Without a doubt. What an absolute stunning walk. The first, I'll talk about it in thirds. That first third, unbelievable. The second third, which is sort of like when you're up and in the South Rim and doing things. The last third, horrible, treacherous, awful. Right. I wouldn't
that would
go
be
down
the Pinnacles Trail.
The Pinnacles Trail. I will never go near that trail again.
No.
I will go back the way we came in and make it an out and back before I do that ever again. But what is it about the South Rim Trail that you remember?
I mean, I think it is just you turn the corner and something new is there. You really are experiencing, I'd say this is more of a Seven Realms Trail than Golden Canyon, because Golden Canyon, yes, it's desert, the landscape shifts, but the desert doesn't change.
Maybe it's like a Five Realms trail,
but
Golden Canyon.
That whole hike up in the cool, we started in like mist, and then it was the sun burned off the fog and the mist, and we were hiking up through like the foresty part, and then you got kind of almost to where you were on the South Rim, and you were going through where there were campsites and it was wooded.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to that burn area.
The burn area, which we could see from down below.
Yeah.
Now, I say we could see from down below. We were way the hell high up in the air already when we could see that even higher up. And I was like, I think we're going even further up and we're going up there.
Yeah.
And we did. And it was tremendous. God, I love that trail so much. And then that trail, like Haleakala's Sliding Sands, had a moment of where we sat on the sledge. Well, we were in this sort of open area that like was, there was a big open expanse to our right. And we had a moment where the clouds parted and suddenly we were able to see the entire sweeping view off to the right.
Right, right. I mean, this is a trail where elevation is key and you get to view a large expanse of the park from many different viewpoints. So it is definitely a trail that we would recommend. And we were there and it was pretty cool at the time of the year that we were there, but it did heat up the further along on the trail that we got. So our number two trail for our favorite desert hikes is the Frying Pan, which is in Capitol Reef National Park. And we hiked this in April of 2019 before the world changed. And this can be found in episode 42 from the way back years.
The way back years. Mm-hmm. We did. Mm-hmm. And God, there were so many wonderful things to love about Capitol Reef, right. But especially this trail,
yeah.
Because it spanned two different areas of Capitol Reef.
Right.
We hiked this trail from Cassidy Arch, mm-hmm. across the Frying Pan, and then all the way to essentially the area where the visitor center is,
yeah.
which are two different areas of the park.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like hiking on top of the mesa the whole time, very exposed, but so much fun.
Yeah. And just a very also expansive view from Cassidy Arch into the environs around. But as you're hiking through the Frying Pan, you're able to see very, very far. The park is also just quite a gem when it comes to desert parks. It's one that I feel like gets often overlooked, and it is something that should be really elevated in the discourse because there is so much to love about Capitol Reef. But this is like a really nice long trail that we got to do along with some other really lovely trails in our single day in Capitol Reef, which was
I wish we had spent
another day, because there were definitely things that we wanted to do that we just did not have the time for.
God, what a wild time that was when we literally drove very early to Capitol Reef, got there at 7 a.m.
Something crazy like that.
Hiked all day, spent one night, and then drove out of there.
Yeah. Drove out of there like a bat out of hell.
That's right. And yeah. Now this leads us to our number one desert hike of this episode. This was chosen by Mike. However, I do solidly concur. And that is your favorite.
Devil's Garden.
Devil's Garden. We hiked this in 2017. In
the
Arches,
way back years.
Arches National Park. Mm-hmm. It is episode 13.
This was our first national parks trip.
Yes.
Which is wild.
And our third national park together.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because it was the third on this trip.
Yeah.
Third out of five.
Yeah.
We did five parks on that one trip.
We did. We packed her in.
We also did.
We did six parks on that trip, baby girl.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. We did do six parks. I'm not going to lie. I forgot about the Grand Canyon.
A park to get back to.
We did Arches essentially in 2 days.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there was a lot to see and do in Arches.
And this is also where we met our hiking mama friends.
Yeah, from Canada.
From Canada. But this was the first thing that we did was this hike. We pulled into Arches. We drove all the way to the end of the road and we went straight for this hike.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can see so many arches on this hike.
Right.
Which is the beauty of it. Because right. you can see like so many of them. And we did the big loop. And what was it about this hike that makes it number one for you?
Because it's a thinking hike. It's not a hike that you are seeing scenery, and that's great and it's lovely, but you have to think about how to get from point A to point B. It is a jungle gym for the brain. There's a lot to like traverse. There's things you have to like jump over, climb over, boulder. There's just so many wonderful things. And then you have the arches on top of it, which I forget how many you see on this trail, but it's a ton because you're only seeing a few within the park that are like the standalone arches that you could get out and do like a quick like little jaunt or see from the car. This is like where a large majority of the arches are. So
yeah,
there's a lot to love about it from the perspective of just the environment and what you're seeing, but also what you're traversing over.
We also got to see mule deer.
Mm-hmm.
And it is one of those hikes that you really are seeing something different every time you turn around.
Yeah.
And you have to figure out where you're going next.
Yeah.
It's so much fun.
It is. It's a blast. It's a trail I would do over and over and over again if I lived in the Moab area.
It's like a natural scavenger hunt.
Yeah. That's what it feels like.
And now let's end this trail mix with some Jeopardy style trivia.
Well, this game is called Dessert Desert, and it is a word drop game. So I'm going to give you a clue. You have to come up with both words. And
you mean a letter drop game?
Yeah, letter drop game. That's what I meant. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you a clue. You have to come up with both of the words based off of my clue writing.
Great.
And they will be one letter apart.
Great.
Great. For 100, This dropped word combo is a strategic military installation, and with an added letter may sound like a particular place in a race, but actually means onward or forward.
I really thought we were going to go regime regimen with that, but that's not where it went. So a place in a race, like ranking?
Mm-hmm. It sounds like a ranking, but it actually means onward or forward.
Oh, the word isn't ranking. Oh, I don't know. I think you got me stumped.
What is fort and forth?
Fort and forth. Okay. Okay. Great.
Okay. For 200.
So it sounds like a ranking, but it was spelled different.
Right. It said, I said that. It may sound like a particular place in a race, but actually means onward or forward.
When it's spelled with one less letter. Okay. Okay. I got it. Now I'm following your logic.
Got it. Great. For 200, this dropped word combo is something that you may want or desire deeply, and with a dropped letter is something you might get because you put in time, effort, or energy. We could also say the men of heated rivalry do a good job at this. The show is about this word.
Foreplay.
No, wanting or desiring deeply. What's another word for that?
Goals.
No, they were using this word a lot when they were talking about it.
Dreams.
Starts with a Y. If I desire something.
Yearn.
Okay. Great.
Yearn. So it's yearning, earning.
Yeah, yearn and earn.
Okay,
yeah.
Got it.
Okay. Foreplay.
Well, they do a good job of that on that show.
Great. For 300, this dropped word combo is someone in a black and white uniform who might clean up after you, and with a dropped letter is what the kids might describe as meh or mediocre.
What is mid made?
Yes, what is made and mid. For 400, this dropped word combo is a space that you may also consider a fireplace, and with a dropped letter is a synonym for soil.
What is hearth and earth?
That's correct. And for 500, this dropped word combo is what bug sprays do to bugs as they fly into your field, and with a dropped letter is something you might watch on Instagram.
What is the Instagram word real?
Mm-hmm.
So is it...
What does bug spray do to bugs when they fly at you? Do the bugs stay around? What do?
They die.
No, not necessarily.
They flee.
Okay, what's another word? What would, if I was causing someone to flee, I would be doing this to them. Or a force field might do this to an enemy as it comes to you.
Repel.
Yeah, there we go.
I got there.
That one was tricky because it was in the middle.
No, but repel, that was great with the bug spray because it is called repellent.
Mm-hmm.
Well done.
Great.
That was really fun.
Thanks. Looking for more episodes like the one you just heard? Then be sure to check out our episode finder for episodes by park, state, hiking difficulty, and terrain, as well as all of our Trail Mix episodes in one helpful place. Click the link in the show notes of this episode, our Instagram bio, or visit our website to make your listening experience even easier.
This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created, produced, edited, and hosted by us,
Dustin Dallard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. That's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram and on our website is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariella Klinger, with Sean Sklios on guitar. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode, that we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as New Jersey.